What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is Fightful. It is January 18th, 2023. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, all that good stuff. If you want your questions or statements right on the air, super chats and humper chats are the way to do it. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit. We're here to review AEW Dynamite. And of course, we're going to talk about the unfortunate loss of Jay Briscoe. We covered this extensively on the list in your boy today, so I encourage you guys to check that out as well. We're likely going to talk a little bit more about that on the first ever Fightful Awards. They were slated to take place on January 12th. They are now happening Thursday, January 19th. And I mentioned this last night on the air. We've got an award with Jay Briscoe's name on it en route right now. They won a tag team match of the year a month ago, which, I mean, goes to show you how relevant, how recently he was doing incredible things. I also see Alex doing some things over there on the other end of the stream. Are your headphones hooked up, Alex?
My the Bluetooth and my Bluetooth headphones died right now.
So
I had to fish out my old ones that plug into the actual thing through the 3.5 millimeter jack. That's here now, and now I can hear you.
That's why I don't use them, because I've got this fear of that always happening. So that's why I always have the cords. Although I legitimately tomorrow is thinking about buying a pair of Bluetooth.
They're really headphones. Nice. I just haven't charged them in like 2 weeks, so that's my fault.
Yeah. Off the top, I feel like it's important for me to say this.
Yeah,
I was told when people saw this show, you know, there are a lot of people that expected a 10 bell salute, any number of those things. I wish that would have happened. I wish that could have happened. I wish there could have been more very blatant Jay Briscoe tributes. Specifically, I want to say verbatim what I was told, because I don't want to take anything out of context. It says, "I hope everyone knows Tony is doing the best he can for Jay." And that was about 35, 40 minutes into the show. I don't know what that necessarily means, but what we do know is a report that Fightful Select had less than a year ago is that Warner Brothers Discovery did not want the Briscoes on their show. Speculated because of the tweets, which by all intents and purposes seems like he genuinely regretted.
Yeah.
And not only said that he regretted, but explained specifically why he said those things, why it was wrong. And tons of wrestlers, I mentioned Effie, Dark Sheik, that are members of those communities that were targeted, talked about how wonderful he was to them. So I just feel like that's important for me to mention. We did get several tributes on this show in the form of armbands and a graphic. And Tony Khan said that they are filming a tribute show that will air on Honor Club for free after the episode of Dynamite that aired. But I'm going to try to find out more about this. But I wish they could have done more. I don't know if they were able to. And I know people say, well, why? Well, like this person saying it reflects poorly on them. I agree. And they mentioned him several times. I wish, you know, it could have been a video package. It could have been something just a little bit more. And you know what? Maybe that happens. Maybe that happens next week. Maybe that happens down the line. I know there's a lot of people hurting there right now. I mean, there were several people in AEW that were supposed to do like awards acceptances today. And I emailed my contact in AEW and I said, hey, I realize that is not something that they're going to be keen on doing today. Let's just nix that. Let's scrap that. And they were very understanding of us working together in that sense. But it's a tragedy. And unfortunately, we're in the position to even talk about like how a person should be honored or given a tribute, because we don't get him anymore, who I consider the greatest ROH star ever. 20 years, the top of singles, tag, six-man tag divisions. He was a special performer, Alex.
Yeah, it was one of those things where when the reports came out that he was 38, just shy of his 39th birthday, I mean, it wasn't like one of those things like, well, he looked older, but it didn't make sense that a guy who'd been doing it for as long as he had could only be 38.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, you have all these guys who work well into their 40s now. It didn't make sense to me that he was only that young. So the fact that he and his brother were having matches against each other in CZW when they were a combined age of like 35.
Yes.
Like,
which is a wrestler's prime now. That's when they are starting to hit their prime right now.
I know it is a terrible, senseless tragedy, in every sense of the word. And a lot of it for me, because it's my own personal, feelings on death, just the idea of that it can be taken away from you like that, not after some long illness where we're not that that's any better, but it's just a different feel. I've had people taken from me in different ways, but the ones that were here one minute and gone the next are always the ones that hit me the hardest, because I never had a chance to say goodbye type of things. And so in this way, that really, really hit home for me just when that news came in.
Yeah. So we don't know specifically what was permitted, what nope. wasn't, if that was even a conversation, we don't know. Nope. I will say this, if, mm-hmm. and this is a big if Warner Brothers Discovery limited what they could do as the lead in for a fucking slap show with a guy who was on film slapping his wife. Just saying.
Yeah.
That would be a big problem for me. I also expect at Supercard of Honor, I would imagine they're going to do something. I would imagine they're going to honor him. I mean, again, the greatest performer in mm-hmm. totality in ROH history. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricardo says redemption for Jay means redemption for me too. And Drew Douglas, good friend of the show, says it's been a rough week. Just goes to show how short life is. Thanks for giving fans a forum to share stories. Appreciate you guys for everything you do. Well, we appreciate you, Drew. Good friend of mine. But Jambeard says, Jay was a guy who affected so many companies. GCW, ROH, Warrior, Defy, AEW, Impact, Mission, New Japan. Missing a few, and even though he never worked WWE, so many people there have wrestled him.
There was a thing that Seth Rollins tweeted out, where he said, if I didn't have those matches with Jay Briscoe, I don't think Tyler Black ever could have become Seth Rollins. You have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the top program in the entire company. Kevin Steen and El Generico and their matches versus the Briscoes. Like, Kevin Steen lost the title to Jay Briscoe. Like, they, so many guys at the very top of all of wrestling, they cross paths with Jay Briscoe, even if Jay Briscoe never made it to the WWE. He affected so many people, inside and outside of the wrestling business. It really is a senseless loss.
And, also the tribute show will be on ROH's YouTube as well, mm-hmm. but an incredible loss, a fantastic performer. And of course, we're going to continue to talk about him all throughout tonight. So, feel free, share your memories, guys, by all means. Orange Cassidy kicked off this episode of AEW Dynamite. By the way, guys, we had Dynamite plans on FightfulSelect.com. We have each of the last 3 weeks. And tomorrow, just like we do for Raw and SmackDown, we're going to have producer info, backstage info, a lot of stuff like that. So you get those for Raw, SmackDown, and AEW Dynamite as of right now. We'll see where it goes. Next week, John Alba will be joining the show as AEW Dynamite is at Rupp Arena, about 3 miles from my house. So I'll be there for that. I'm going to be digging up scoops. My friends at Toy Vomit here in Lexington, Kentucky, are hosting Brody King and Ethan Page on Tuesday night. So if you guys want to meet and greet, get a signing done and pick up some figures, head over to Toy Vomit, Toy HQ in Lexington, Kentucky. Check them out. But Orange Cassidy beats Jay Lethal. And I loved Seahawk's tweet where he said, Jay Lethal's got to have a cousin on the Jaguars or something. Like, this guy is on TV every week. And listen, do I think he's a good performer? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But guess who I don't need to see every week on TV? Somehow he's doing something. Listen, Jeff Jarrett's been a very pleasant surprise for AEW. Like, he looks great. I've mentioned this before, but Christopher Daniels gave me some of the best wrestling advice ever. I said, how do you avoid botching? Because I've only seen him botch once. Mm-hmm. And he said, I never do anything in minute two that I can't also do in minute 30. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to that is Jeff Jarrett never did anything in 1988 he couldn't do in 2023. Mm-hmm. So he can do everything that he's always done. Right.
Yeah.
But this was a fun match. I loved Orange Cassidy just going full Harley Race. Like, what's your finish, kid? I'll move. That is great. I enjoyed the sports entertainment shenanigans with this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Danhausen as the usher, best friends around there. I'm ready to move on from Jay Lethal for a little while. Good performer, ready to see somebody else in that spot. Orange Cassidy gets the win.
Yep. It turns out that the cure-all for my problems with Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Sanjay Dutt is Danhausen. If Danhausen is out there taking the piss out of all of their BS, then all of a sudden it becomes funny, because everything Danhausen does is incredibly dumb and it works. And I loved his counteracting all their stuff. It's a nonsensical thing. If Jeff Jarrett hits anybody with a guitar, Sanjay Dutt is fired, but it works as a motivation thing. Sometimes in early acting classes, you will have somebody do a scene and then do it a different way. We're like, okay, so this whole scene, you're never going to bring it up, but this whole scene, you really have to pee. And the whole thing is completely different because you're playing this other thing, and you'll try really hard not to do it too much. But the whole idea of it is the whole scene plays out the same way, except Sanjay Dutt, you cannot let Jeff Jarrett go anywhere near anybody with that guitar. And the whole thing is added another layer of shenanigans that's very specific for a very specific reason, and it totally worked. I loved it.
Yeah. Force of Will says, Alex ripping Mystery Science Theater 3000 with that shirt.
Punch, deadlift, props. Big, McLarge, huge. Punch, rock, groin.
You can rep Fightful at shop.fightful.com. I'm going to add some updated stuff on there. I promise. 2022 was a little busy. I didn't get as much time to design shirts as I would like. And shockingly, 2023 has also been crazy. So,
yeah.
Sawyer says, a little more tribute would have been good, but at the end of the day, I think I needed 2 hours of crazy fun wrestling to lift my spirits, and I got a banger episode tonight. R.I.P.J. Love to everyone. Considering the circumstances and the limitations, I would have liked a little a tribute video, a 2-minute video would have been nice.
You know, I mean, I don't know what harm a 10-bell salute would have done.
Yeah,
like that to me felt like it was it because I tuned in a minute late, and they were like the fireworks were going off, and it was it was the same opening as everything. I was like, did I miss the 10-bell salute? It turns out I missed the overlay card of RIP Jay Prisco, which is great, but also the absolute bare minimum. Like I thought a 10-bell salute would have started the night off in a way everyone needed to have that moment to honor.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Him, and then you can move on.
Meat Normus says, what's good, everyone? Meat Normus loves you, whether you're a vegan or a Power Slap fan. Two of my favorite Briscoe promos on YouTube are Cosmetically Pleasing and Dalton Castle. What kind of bird are you? Sad they never got on TV. They deserved it. I'll say this. In addition to being a fantastic wrestler, having a great look, I don't know if there was anybody for the last 10 years that said that they were going to kick somebody's ass, and I believed it more than Jay Briscoe.
Yeah.
I believed every word of what he said. Mm-hmm. Pro Wrestling Podcast, who is sponsoring the Fightful Select or the Fightful Awards Thursday, January 19th, says it's your friendly neighborhood podcast, just saying hi. Well, hello. We had Adam Cole, the look back there. Lord Zypher says, any news and creative plans for Cole? Really curious to see who he ends up wrestling at Revolution. That is a big question, Alex. Where are you thinking they're going with Adam Cole? Because no follow-up this week. Nope. How do you feel about that, besides the video?
I don't know, man. This week's all weird. You know what I mean?
It like, is.
I don't know. I don't know what if plans might have changed. But listen, Adam Cole is a huge star, and you figure out things for that guy to do. I don't know what they are specifically.
I will say this show is largely what they had planned, is what I was told.
Yeah. Then I guess I would have liked to have seen something else from him live. I mean, that kind of reaction that the crowd. He's one of those guys you have do something on the show every week just so you get that crowd pop and that thing, that reaction on television. But I honestly don't know. I mean, like listen, Revolution's going to have 8 matches on it right now that the program hasn't even started yet. Yeah. So we'll figure out something, but, it doesn't make a lot of sense right now to insert him into certain title programs, but all you got to do is have him come out, cut another promo, and have some guy come out and say, hey, I don't like you. And there you go. That's something we could do. Like,
yeah.
Have we done, it seems like probably he's got something else to do in a storyline moving forward with Hangman Page. Have we done Moxley versus Adam Cole? Because that would be a hell of a match to put on just for the hell of it.
Tom LaValle says, I think OC after a 10 bell salute is too big of a tone shift. I mean, I wouldn't say that. He's not driving out there in a clown car and like throwing pies in people's faces or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or anything disrespectful. We did see a tribute in the form of the Bucks wearing armbands, and they put over Top Flight in an absolute friggin' slapper, Alex.
Yeah, it was.
Man, I still, to this day, I believe that Nick Jackson is going to have, a one-off title match or something, and it's going to be amazing. Like, that guy, his kicks, I can't even possibly convey how tough it is to be as accurate and throw kicks the way that he does. Mm-hmm. For a guy that I don't know if he ever had any martial arts experience, like none that I've known of, but Top Flight gets the win here after just an amazing match. I can't remember the name of their double team move that they do, the moonsault DDT type of thing, like the face melter or some shit like that. Sorry, I'm not a savant with the names of moves, but just they do such incredible things. And this is not unlike the Young Bucks to put over young talent.
Right.
Now, I know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to get a message from somebody that says, well, it's funny that you were complaining about the Briscoes as champions losing. Well, hold on. These are the Trios champions losing 2-1-2 matches. Mm-hmm. They are not the 2-1-2 champions.
No.
My issue with the Usos losing was that they lost 11 times via pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
Not DQ, count out, anything separate. The 2-1-2 champions lost 2-1-2 matches by pinfall 11 times since being champions. That's what I took issue with. So I've especially got no issue with the Bucks as Trios champions losing here, especially with the story they told Alex.
Yeah.
Because the story they were telling on commentary was, these guys just went through 7 grueling matches where they got hit by hammers.
Yeah.
thought this was great.
It was great. You are right in that it is a 2-on-2 match and they're not the 2-on-2 champions. I remember though when they said, okay, Young Bucks and Kenny, you're gone for a while. We're going to put the titles on Death Triangle. And then Death Triangle proceeded to lose almost every match they had in combinations of singles, doubles, anything that wasn't a trios title defense. They lost all those matches. And it just felt weird seeing people who came to the ring wearing a title lose. And it was like, no big deal.
Sure.
You know, so in this case, I'm all for it. Because remember, there was a trios battle royal thing that Top Flight and AR Fox won. So they're like, if you say, okay, well, AR Fox, come back and join us. Now we're going to get the next title shot. Like because we beat you 2-on-2, we're adding our guy who we won a battle royal with. You guys are the champions. You bring your guy, Kenny, in here. Let's have Top Flight and AR Fox versus Young Bucks and Kenny. And holy God, that match. Like, I'm fine with it if it's leading somewhere. They've also talked about how Top Flight never beaten the Bucks. Like there's a through line overall. And I think the Top Flight's going to be one of those teams where we look back in 5-10 years and go, the match they had with the Bucks, where the Bucks put them over, that was a big thing for them. These are the kind of things that I'm okay with because it is in a grander service.
But the booking has to be there and the performance has to be there. The growth has to be there from a promo perspective and all that. Because we were saying the same thing about Private Party, over 3 years ago, we were saying the same thing about Private Party. And if you would have told me that they weren't even sniffing the tag team titles in 2023, I'd be like, what, really? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, the roster looks way, 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 way different than it did then, because the original method was, oh, we're not taking anybody that WWE released. In fact, somebody had to have left the company of their own volition. So they got pushed back quite a bit.
Yeah.
Incredible match. Top Flight. This was a much needed win because otherwise they're going to become the guys that just lose on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And win on Dark. And I thought this was really, really great. The Gun Club, or the Guns, whatever the hell their name is now. They're the Ass Boys, the Gun Club, the Guns.
They're the Ass Boys.
Yeah. Yeah, the Butt Cheek Boys, Butt Cheek Bros come out and say that they made the Acclaim popular. The Acclaim tried to cut them off, but the Butt Cheek Bros aren't having it until Max Caster just kind of forces his way through. I think the Guns are fantastic as performers at doing what you're supposed to do, get under the skin and stuff. Mm-hmm. If they are also going to be put in these spots, I would love to see them win their matches as well.
Yep. Yeah. They got to start. They're in a spot now where they basically just annoyed FTR into getting a match versus FTR, which they then cheated to win. And now they're annoying the Acclaimed into getting a title match. So like it is kind of a thing where I don't recall. Somebody in the chat will absolutely know this or look it up for me. When the last time they won a tag match that wasn't this match over FTR that I would have seen. I mean, I'm sure they're winning matches on Dark and Elevation, which I'm not able to watch every week. But it feels weird that they're just, this is the team we got for them. Hey, Top Flight's on a win streak. Top Flight versus the Acclaimed. We can do that. Can we do that? I'd like that.
Do you think there's a chance Billy turns on the Acclaimed?
I mean, this is the thing. They did that already, right? They did it, like, he chose his sons over them, and then the sons backfired it on him, and, like, is it a kind of a thing where we're going to be doing that over and over again? I think there is, but I do like, I got two words for you, family therapy. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that he could end up turning. Because, I mean, I feel like Scissor Me Daddy Ass has peaked. Has probably peaked, and they did what they should do. Hangman promo. Jambeard says, Hanger says he's going to mend fences. I think he means mend friendships with the Elite after suffering the injury. How are you thinking? How are you feeling about that?
Hanger is such a great he does all these really little subtle things as a wrestling actor. Like there's, because there, that's a part of the business, is being able to actually, you know, be an actor. And he's got it. Like there's something about it, the way, like the little hitch in his voice after Renee told him that Moxley's words about, like, he detests how much he respects you, or kind of a thing. Like yeah. That's a really, really cool thing that he wasn't expecting that and had to take some time to process it while giving an answer to a question. Like, that was really great. I love him, like, not being able to say it out loud that he's going to go and talk to the Bucks and Kenny and try and figure out what that's all about. That moment of, hey, Renee, when you see John, could you tell him, you know what, never mind, that's silly, that's stupid, I'm going to go. Like, what was it? But like, he's always second guessing himself, and the character is, he's always been. And so now in this moment where there's a perhaps a, you knocked my ass out, I knocked your ass out, let's be friends thing that they could do with Moxley and Hangman. I mean, Jesus, like that would be a hell of a duo. There's a lot of fun stuff they can do.
There's a lot of fun stuff you can do with your pubes thanks to manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL, Alex. That's manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Not just that, though. Lots of fun stuff in the bathroom in general. They got that ultra premium collection. That's the skin and hair care kit. They got the weed whacker, the electric nose hair trimmer. They got the beard hedger, which is a beard trimmer, and they've got the lawnmower 4.0. That's the groin and body grooming. Manscaped.com, code FIGHTFUL, gives you 20% off plus free shipping. And hey, if you want those traditional packages, they have everything from the beard hedger pro kit to the perfect package 4.0, the performance package, the platinum package, all kinds of stuff. Beard brushes, scissors, formulations, ball toners, trimmers, even special gifts, boxers even. They got refined cologne. What don't they have at Manscaped? Basically, if you use it in your bathroom to make yourself look better, manscaped.com has it. And we have it for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. Again, that new beard kit is fantastic. Comes with beard shampoo, beard conditioner, beard oil, balm, a travel bag, an AC adapter, USB-C cable, and a beard hedger. I cannot tell you how important having that beard brush is as well. That comes with the free gift, along with a beard comb and beard scissors. It's good stuff, my friends. Check it out, manscaped.com, and the code FIGHTFUL. There we go. You're a pro, Alex.
Thank you.
A true pro.
Thank you. I'll have you know, though, my back is dolphin smooth.
Okay. Okay.
Naturally. Dolphins everything are else real is smart. Everything dude. Else is a veritable forest, but the back.
Reese Rose says, I was homeless watching Kenny Omega return with Bird on AEW Plus on a curb in Baltimore. Now my family's somewhat safe, and I watched a 5-star match on free TV. Mm-hmm. I love Jay. Wrestling saved my life. Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing better and in a position to where you can super chat us. Man, I can't tell you how fortunate that makes us feel. Yeah. So I'm glad that you're doing incredibly well, and we're very glad to have you as a viewer so much, and glad that wrestling's helping you. I mean, wrestling has helped a lot of us, so yeah. Glad it's doing that for you. Knocked Bogan says, started late, going to give them another week to see if they're allowed to do more. If not, then a discussion needs to be had about the network. Yeah, I want to find out more. Yeah. I want to find out some more. Mm-hmm. Well, we found out that the NWO style attacks just don't work for Jericho Appreciation Society. Yeah. Back-to-back weeks. And I love it because mm-hmm. last week we thought it was going to happen, or the last time as well. Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks just fought through this one as well.
Yep.
This was a very sports entertainment match.
Yes.
With Jake Hager. He stole the hat and all that from Jake Hager. And then he ended up beating a bunch of asses.
Yeah.
And beating Jake Hager. This was simple, effective. Ricky Stark should not be losing to anybody in this, except for maybe Jericho. And even then, I want to see him beat Jericho.
Right.
How'd you feel about this? Because I thought it was pretty smart booking.
Yeah, it's what it needed to be. Ricky Starks overcoming the odds, absolutely. Jake Hager, just, you know, being Jake Hager wrestling like the guy who says, "I'm going to slap your face off your face," is the perfect thing for him. Like just a wrecking ball. This was very good. Ricky Starks is an absolute star moving forward. This dissension in the ranks of JAS is a slow thing that's just going to play over the next, I think, 3 to 4 years. Are we going to see something that happens between Garcia and Sammy coming out of everything this week? I'm looking forward very much so to Action Andretti in the ring again after what we saw last time. Him versus Garcia on Friday should be great. And then we'll see where we're going moving forward.
Brucey Rose says, "Oh yeah, smoke your weed and enjoy wrestling. My friend, I do." After this match, we got the Y2J Sammy and Garcia promo, and Garcia volunteered to be Jericho's partner. Sammy was great here.
Yeah.
Sammy is like, "I'm so proud of you. I've been training you for this." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Also, I got you new gear," and it's leather pants. And he just embraces Daniel Garcia, who doesn't change his expression. I thought this was phenomenal.
Yeah. I think Daniel Garcia should lose the match versus Action Andretti because the pants are so uncomfortable. Because Daniel Garcia is not the type of guy to wrestle in leather pants. And I think him being forced to wear them is a really funny thing. I think this is great. The Sammy and Daniel Garcia pairing, they're absolute opposites, but are forcing themselves to be the same guy, which is Jericho's surrogate son. Like it's great. It's good stuff.
Oh, you want to talk about good stuff. Bryan Danielson beat Bandido. What a goddamn match this was. I wish I could remember every individual spot in this match, but Bandido was a house of fire. That guy looked so thrilled to be in AEW, and he looked so thrilled to be in the ring with Bryan Danielson. And while he's in the ring with Bryan Danielson, the crowd is chanting, "Bandido, Bandido." They loved him. He's got a special type of charisma that transcends language, that transcends him speaking Spanish.
Transcends being able to see his face.
Exactly.
Like, we can't see if he's smiling or like what he's doing. Like none of that. We can't see him in anguish. If he's in a hold, he's got to do all of that with his body. Like he's really special.
And I know that the common criticism will be on him. Slow down. No, that is how him slowing down is his facial expression.
Yeah.
So when he's not going 100 miles an hour because he can't show his facial expressions, you see him physically slow down and you go, "Oh, okay, that's it." That's one of the first things that you're taught with, like, because people do learn how to work under a mask. He trains under the mask. I love that they mentioned that on commentary. Yeah. And I'll tell you what's great, Alex. You've got a guy in Excalibur who can relate to him in a manner in which no other commentator will be able to relate to him.
Yeah.
And will be able to offer insight that no other commentator will be able to.
Yeah.
I think that that's so fantastic. So we've got two straight matches with Bryan Danielson against two, I want to say, younger stars. Bandito's a former ROH world champion, but still, relatively speaking, on a global scale, Bandido is a younger star.
Sure.
That both lost to Bryan Danielson and came out looking a million times better.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do here. Sawyer says, "With all due respect to the entire Best of Seven series, Danielson Bandido, best match of the year so far. Hump my socks off. More Bandido on TV, please." I think it might be the best Dynamite match, but I've still got Ospreay and Omega over it. But Dream Ninja says, "Danielson must be having the time of his life wrestling Takeshita and Bandido back-to-back weeks. The Danielson Weekly Wrestling Clinic rules." Well, let's talk about it, because that's what this was. Mm-hmm. It was an absolute humper. I'm talking denim on denim, dry humpage here. Mm-hmm. We got Alex. Just amazing stuff out of these two.
It was
was really special. You've heard that it came out this week that Danielson was super excited to get to wrestle Bandido. And when Danielson is excited to wrestle you, he gives a lot in the match. I mean, like he the stuff that when I say gives, I mean takes, because some of the stuff he was taking from Bandido was kind of crazy. And it was excellent, just back and forth. And they were trading counters to like submission moves, and the crowd was like, "This is awesome." These guys are just very special. Bryan Danielson, I firmly believe, especially with this run he's having AEW, will go down as the greatest to ever do it. And he's going to make all the people he wrestles look like they're on his level, because that's what he does. That's how great he is. And that's how great Bandido is. Bandido and Contesta in two straight weeks. This is basically Danielson's wrestling heaven. Can you, like, this, the idea of only like a few short years ago, he was like, "I'm never going to get to wrestle again." And now he's out there with these types of guys putting on these types of matches on weekly television. Like, this is everything that he's wanted coming back. And I'm so happy for him. Bandido made this extra special with a lot of really great spots. There were moments I was like, well, how did I believe that was the finish? Obviously, Bandido has to lose this match, or Danielson can't have the title match. But they sold me a ticket in the moment so hard, I was like, Bandito's got that one.
Yeah.
But of course he can't. It's great.
Tony says, "I will never turn down a Bandido match, but I need him to get some wins. I also don't want him to team with Hangman." I almost called him Tangman.
Tangman. Pootie Tangman?
That's when Hangman turns into a male stripper. He calls himself Tangman.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is why I think it would be important for them to show. Give me a 1 minute recap of Dark and Elevation. Yeah. 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see, oh, he beat Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Brandon Charles Powell says, "Bandido is so strong. Hopefully one day we get to see him versus Tyler Bate." Ain't going to happen anytime soon, buddy.
Not anytime soon, but yeah.
Sawyer says, "What do you think the chances are this weekly gauntlet for Danielson we get is him and Shibata?" I wonder if MJF, like, he would do MJF's bidding for him, you know, Shibata.
Right, right.
Like, I could imagine him, like, clocking MJF and being like, "I'm doing this because I want to do it."
Right, right.
"Not for your money."
So we know next week is Brian Cage. We'll talk about that segment. But there's two more after that in order to get to February 8th. He's got to win one on February 8th. So there's two more after that. We don't know. And honestly, there's a lot of really intriguing possibilities out there.
So that is the match that we're getting next, by the way. MJF cuts a promo. And Brent Lockman says, "MJF's nightly bloodlust has overflown into his days. He feels lethal, on the verge of frenzy. He thinks his mask of sanity is about to slip." This is what I keep mentioning. When MJF doesn't like you, he will hit you with LOL your mom.
Mm-hmm.
When he hates you, it is your father left your mom. Mm-hmm. It was all your fault. And that's why I'm going to beat you in a wrestling match. And then your dad's going to be in a skybox hanging out with me, calling me his favorite son. Like, that's, he will cut you as deep as possible.
Yeah.
Jambeard says, "The Tang Man cometh." Oh, good God.
Tanger created after Tanger. This is Tanger after Tanger.
Oh, the Tang Man. Listen. I got to admit, I'm getting a little banged up when I train to get back in the ring. Mm. The Tang Man, I'm stealing it. I'm stealing the Tang Man.
Yep.
I'm just going to get a remix of his theme song, which is just me humming that same beat.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Ricardo says, "Orange Tang Cassidy." I don't think it works like that. Mm-mm. But I'm going to team with Jimmy Wang Tang. That's for sure.
That's right.
Brian Mahoney says, "Is it fair to say I don't think MJF, as he is, can stay interesting enough to be champion all year? I feel like the wrestling in AEW the wrestling AEW showcasing is severely working against him. Well, this is the beauty of MJF, because he wrestles so rarely that people forget how incredible of a wrestler that he is, Alex. And if I need to remind you, go back and watch that Darby Allin match.
Yeah.
Because they were in the ring and people went, oh shit. And people are gonna see this match and they're gonna go, oh shit.
Yeah.
MJF also predicted exactly how this title reign would go. He said, you know, people are gonna say, he's getting boring. Mm-hmm. Like, he predicted this.
Yeah. No, he called a shot immediately upon becoming champion, right before he murdered William Regal.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, well, that's how you book this. And yes, people are going to be like, man, this is boring. And then he's going to have that match with Danielson, and you're going to go, well, that wasn't boring. And what you're actually saying, not when you're saying it's boring, is you'd rather watch him wrestle more often. But if you watched him wrestle more often, it would not be as special. The time he takes between wrestling is just enough time for you to forget how good the last match was, and then start convincing yourself again that he can't wrestle. And then he wrestles again, and you go, damn, that was really great. And the whole thing starts all over again. Honestly, it's kind of a smart thing to do, because as well, he's not taking as many bumps or anything like that. So if he wrestles, if he wrestles Danielson, and then he wrestles Tang Man, and then, like, from then on, you know, he's wrestling all these top guys throughout the entire year. With enough the great wrestling that AEW is putting on every week is there to get you between these MJF championship title programs with everything else going on between them, because you're never going to be I think a lot of it is that you don't want the top title program to be the only reason you tune in to watch the weekly stuff, which sometimes it can be in different places, but for this one, you're tuning in to watch stuff like Danielson versus Takeshita, and some other stuff that I can't remember what they've done, what they promoted for next week. That you're tuning in to watch that too, while we're still building this top title program. It's great stuff.
So backstage, by the way, guys, make sure to super chat and humper chat your Tang references. Mm-hmm. We'll read them on the air. I got to pull an Alex on Tuesdays there. Give me your Tang puns.
Yep.
Super chats here on YouTube.com/Fightful, as well as Humper Chats at HumperChats.com. By the way, this week on Fightful, interviews with the former Allen Angels and Kylan King. So make sure you guys check those out. This weekend on Fightful Select, we will have Inside the Royal Rumble, a near final draft on the horrid stuff that went down last year.
Yeah.
Brian Mahoney says, love you guys, but here's where I disagree. The attraction position has to be earned, not given. I think right now MJF is fine. Mid-year, not so sure. I'm unsure as to why you think he won't adapt, like why you think that it will stay the same, like that we won't see him descend or anything like that. In 2019, I really thought what Seth Rollins should have done when Brock Lesnar had that Money in the Bank, he should have gone psychotic, paranoid. That's when he enlists AOP. Like, it's one thing to get to the mountaintop. It's another thing to stay on the mountaintop.
Yep.
And people will do crazy things to hold on to their position.
Yeah.
Look at a guy running WWE right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for example, I don't know what the major programs they have looking forward for him might be, but I could see certainly in the fall something like a MJF versus Keith Lee program. That's an entirely different thing than MJF being like, Bryan Danielson, I'm better than you. Well, like, I don't care how good you are, MJF, Keith Lee's gonna murder you. So let's see what that program is like. I'm just saying, hypothetically, you stick different guys in front of him, hopefully that he will adapt and run different types of title programs with different types of guys. That's my hope.
So Brian Cage is backstage. MJF hands him a wad of money to face Bryan Danielson, and Cage is about ready to attack. But Prince Nana says, no, the money, the money.
Because MJF slaps him in the face.
Yes. Yes.
I like, I mean, just like if what you're feeling right now, big man, that's hate.
Yep.
I want you to use that against Danielson. That's some good stuff.
King of the North says that match is going to go crazy. I am so excited I get to watch that because Brian Cage has become one of my favorite performers. He's went from a guy whose work I didn't enjoy to one of my favorite performers because he's like the psychology, the pace is also good. Yep. Eloquent says they also had he also had a great match with Willie Mack on Dark. And who don't they have good matches with?
Yeah.
But that Lucha Underground callback is great. Tom LaValle says total 180 for Sammy's gimmick. Love this. I completely agree there. Jordan Scott says Guns, Lethal, and Crew and Yas all on one show, slowly causing madness for me. Honestly, matches are great, but altogether, it's a lot. I would love to see some of these guys get a week off.
Yeah.
Some of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Cool Hand Tangelo Parker.
Yeah.
That one
cool
is
hand
from
Tange.
Jam. Yeah, Cool Clan Tange. That's from Jam Beard. Tom LaValle. Tangelico.
Tangelico.
Tangelico. Ricardo says Tangaloa. Oh, Jesus.
I saw one in the chat that said Papa Tongo.
Oh, God. Jordan Scott says if MJF loses a non-title match, he might go mad. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Listen, hear me out. Against Sean Dean.
Yeah.
Against Sean Dean again. Ricardo says, it's Tang!
See, this is why we have so much fun on Tuesdays, and you poo-pooed it until you got to do it yourself.
Yeah, it's much better when it's my idea. I gotta say, I'm much more receptive to it when it's something that I can personally monetize. Meat Normus says, watch Briscoe's Bucks versus, or in Hardy's Briscoe's before Dynamite. Feeling very oozy when I saw it was Top Flight in the Bucks. This was a hoot.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I don't think there is a tag team of this millennium that has had more incredible matches than them.
Yeah.
DNC Digital says, feel sad about this one despite being introduced to them last year. A testament to his connection with the people. Thanks to the Fightful team for helping us navigate through this. You should be proud. We're just proud to have good people like you watching us. Like, honestly, and the environment that we've cultivated. I know on social media, sometimes you see me getting a little bit saucy, but trace the thread. There's always a bad person on the other end of that. And if there's one thing I like to do, it's to let bad people know that they are not welcome here on this stream, on our service, on like in our community, because we want a positive, embracing situation when things like this go down. And we appreciate all of you. And there were a lot of people that were exposed to him last year. And it was a hell of a year to be exposed to him. I'm going to try here. Konsuke Tangkestang.
There you go.
I did pretty good.
You did pretty good.
What are we doing here, Eloquent? Tang Tang Tiggle up.
Sometimes the ones that don't actually work are the funniest ones.
The Fallen Tangle, Christopher Tang Cassidy, not quite Orange Alternative. Oh man, Brent Lockwin says, "I love the Lucha Underground references, but at what point does he bring up? Yeah, Jeff Cobb used to eat people.
That's true.
Eventually. Oh man, Tangerosa says Jam Beard. Man." Big E, not that Big E, says, watched FTR Briscoe's at a friend's house who never had watched wrestling before, and he was amazed. One of my fondest wrestling memories, such tragic news. Sending love to Jay's family, friends, and fans. I showed this off on last night's show, but I was there, and I had the most perfect view of the entrance, and this is my favorite picture I've ever taken in wrestling. Oh, man, this... I got chills when I saw this. I got absolute chills because they couldn't build this on AEW TV, really. Nope. There wasn't a lot that they could do. Oh, man. We have the Page and Stokely promo because Big Bill and Lee Moriarty didn't get it done. So now Page is getting it done. And this amazing Takeshita promo where he starts off and he's like, MJF, he's very mean. then speaks Japanese, and Renee goes,
"What does that mean?
What does that mean?" And he goes, "MJF's an asshole."
It's true,
and I just love that. Yeah. It's perfect. Very I thought good. These were effective talking segments to set things up.
Yep.
Kofi Tangston says Tyrone Kidd. Oh, we got Tony defeating Willow. Now, again, love this match. I love that they both got their corner spots into the yeah. rolling spot and yep. the Sweet Cheeks music.
Yep.
Love it. It's absolutely yep. killer. I knew what was going to happen after this match
yeah.
when, you know, Saraya and Tony are not keen on the originals.
Yeah.
I knew that we'd have somebody. I don't want to call them out by name, but they did send a super chat and said that Saraya and Tony heel turn made no sense. Stupid. So this is what I have an issue with when people go, "Who's the heel?" Mm-hmm. We've got two sets of people that don't like each other and they don't like each other because of tribalism.
Right.
Well, guess what we see on the World Wide Web every day talking about AEW and WWE? People who dislike each other for the sole reason of what they like. And it's stupid. It is dumb, but that's the way that humans react to things, unfortunately. So you have this group of people, Saraya, Tony, that feel like they've been ostracized and kept out and that they don't fit in.
Right.
So they are pissy and they're saying, you know what? In fact, they say they don't know what we know and they don't know what they don't know type of thing.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense and I'm okay with this. This is a choose your own battle. Decide which one you like. Decide which one you don't like. Maybe you liked Saraya and Tony more. Maybe you think the AEW originals are whiny.
Right.
What are you thinking?
Well, that's all well and good. But they're absolutely going to present the AEW originals as the baby faces here, because of course they are. I think that there's something about the way that they're going to probably set up this whole thing. I personally love this match. Tony and Saraya commiserating before the thing. Saraya being really pissy at Hikaru Shida, obviously, who is an original herself. They're drawing these lines, originals versus the new girls. I really enjoy the tension of Ruby and Willow just became friends, but one of them is undeniably a new girl and one of them is undeniably homegrown. So how will that shake out? You know, will we get like a defection, you know, from one to the other? Will one of the teams have somebody who's actually a mole working for the other team? There's a lot of really cool stuff. They're building this to be the women's blood and guts match, which I hope they are. There's a lot of really cool storylines there. And people are penciling in their favorites of who might join which squad. There's a lot of really fun stuff here.
Steph, the writer says, who are on your AEW originals, AEW outsiders team? Saraya, Tony. I still say you bring in Mercedes. Mercedes still sitting there saying, I'm going everywhere.
Yeah.
I still say you bring in Mercedes. I want to look at their official roster
I would bring in Athena. She's definitely been working that way as well.
Athena would fit in so perfectly well too.
I don't know how where Chris Statlander is in her rehab process, but it
nowhere
would be
near.
a huge shame to do this angle where she's not able to participate.
Yeah.
Maybe she could be like on the outside, like helping out, like passing things through the bars or something to help them out. Like she should be involved in some way, even if she's not cleared to wrestle.
I would also love to see Ruby Soho get some edge there.
Yeah. Me too.
I would have said Serena, and I am asking every week, guys, by the way, what happened, like what's up with her. But Serena had cut that promo about how shitty WWE was, so it would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
On the AEW side, if you can get Thunder Rosa to work effectively with Jamie and Britt, I think that would be a good, let's put our differences aside. And then if you do like the big savior if they're outnumbered. Jade friggin' Cargill, right. Man.
Yeah.
Jade freaking Cargill.
Right. There's nobody who's more homegrown, really, than Jade, who's had all of her matches here. Right. And the idea of like, yes, I don't like any of you bitches, but I'm fighting for my home because yes. I'm the one who actually runs this place. And so that,
so like, I take that, that personally.
That would be really good. But there was, they did a thing, like it was to varying degrees of success, where they did the old black and gold NXT guys versus versus the new ones, and they didn't worry about heel face alignments because the attachment to black and gold versus the new kids being part of 2.0
NXT invading Raw and SmackDown.
That's true.
Worked very well. King of the North says people want women's storyline in AEW, but want to act stupid in the meantime. Don't understand the online grift anymore. I agree completely, completely with that.
Yeah.
King of the North says Britt, Jamie, Sheeta, Riho, and Willow. Yeah. I don't know what Riho's doing right now, but Riho is also, you know, almost forgotten for a lot of what she did.
Yeah.
Chris Rain says, so excited for Originals versus Outsider. Nyla for the Originals, too. Yes. That is a fantastic shout.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic one, and we give her a little something to do there. And we would get to see her finally play off of other performers, like in a positive light, as opposed to a negative promo. Tom LaValle says, Original for Nyla and splits with Vicky. I think that split already happened.
Yeah, I hope so.
Eloquent says they need to get Athena on TV more. She's so entertaining on Dark. I love her so much as a villain. So for years, when people said, who would you send from WWE to AEW to make a big difference? I said Athena, because that's before they got a lot of people. That's before the mass releases. And I said, well, if you put her on that roster, you've got a ring general. You've got a person who's done global TV. And she just hasn't been used as much, even though I love that they played off the Jody Threat thing. Don't know how much Jody Threat probably liked it, but they played off of it and made her better than ever. Mike Lima says, here's an idea. Tony, Athena, Soraya, Mercedes versus Britt, Jamie, Ty J versus Sheeta, Willow, Ruby, and Riho. I don't think they'll go three directions with that. I think that they'll probably, I mean, maybe at the end of it, they'll splinter off.
Maybe.
Sawyer says, maybe I was hoping we would get Mob Boss Sheeta heel turn, but I'm actually going into this outsider story too. Sheeta's exasperated acting is great. She's just really good, man. She conveys her emotions excellently.
Right. And there's no reason we can't get this bigger angle. And then a few months down the line after that's over, start building again to the heel Sheeta turn. She's not going anywhere. She's going to be a very top person in this women's division for as long as she wants to be.
Jambeard says AEW OGs could be Britt, Jamie, Nyla, Sheeta, Riho, Outsiders, Soraya, Tony, Athena, Madison, Ruby. Yeah, Madison Rain is also another good one, because I mean, she is TNA wrestling. She absolutely is. Eloquent says, is Turner going to block Mark Briscoe from AEW? Now that would be a thing. Like if they were like, well, he can't be on there either because he is the brother of a person who said that.
That would be ridiculous.
Like there is no reason Mark Briscoe shouldn't be allowed on TV.
Yeah.
None. Evangelina Gray says, Kurt Tangle. Johnny, the Tonky Tang Man.
Kurt Tangle is just, that's his actual name, but with a harder T at the end of the first name. Kurt Tangle.
Ricardo says the big orange monster Tang.
That's gotta be Tang.
Pieces says Claudio Classic Castagnoli.
Castagnoli.
Oh God, Ricardo says, Mr. Tangerson. Drew says Tangle Garcia.
Tangle, that's really great.
Jesse, Tangman Adam Page. And the sourest, Eddie Tangston.
Eddie Tangston. Well, Brian Tangelson. There you go. Brian Tangelson's a good one.
Oh, God. Disnuts says, we finally reveal that T-Bar stands for Tang Bar.
Oh,
Christian salt. Says the tangy chief, Roman Tangs. Oh, Jambeard, the death tangle. Jordan also says Willow Night Tangale.
That's good.
Tio says better trademark it now before Chris Tangicho did. Oh, God damn it. He will. Luis says Jared Garcia was right there for Jericho Garcia. Yeah, it was. It was.
Was it Jericia? Is that what he's trying to say? Like, yeah, I think Jared so. Garcia is perfect.
Jerry Garcia. Yeah.
Jerry Garcia is perfect. Come on.
I'll tell you what's also perfect, Alex. Paying 1/6 the price for this UFC pay-per-view that happens yep. this weekend.
Yeah.
Getting 4 additional months free off your plan. 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what NordVPN.com/Fightful has for you. Works on all your devices. You got online threat protection. It's the fastest VPN in the world, and the VPN that everybody's talking about, from the BBC to Huffington Post to BuzzFeed to Wired to Fightful, Entrepreneur, Business Insider, Forbes, all them. Fastest VPN on the planet, threat protection, a global server network, 24/7 support. You are safe from disruptions. You have reliable encryption with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Works on every device you own, any interface that you own. You can also set it up on your router to protect the whole household. Plus, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. I'm heading to San Antonio next week. Let me tell you, there's nothing more that I feel like I need more than some protection when I'm in San Antonio. Man, that place is wild. That place is wild. You ever hung out on the Riverwalk? It's tame there. But you go to one of those hotels on that unsecured Wi-Fi, might as well be Pirates of the Caribbean. Sailing those nasty seas. Not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe now. 4 additional months free. You got a great deal. Get a free gift. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Meet Norma says, Jacket Tang. Shout out to Kushida, the main event humped. Oh boy, did it ever. Darby defeated Kushida. FightfulSelect.com broke before this that Kevin Knight and the DKC would also be there. Ricardo says, how on earth did Tripp screw up Kushida? I want to say this. Before we go there, he did have bigger plans for the Cruiserweight title in 2021. They were moving Roderick Strong from Undisputed Era, a top act, to there. Kushida, a worldwide act, to there. They had recruited Carmelo Hayes. They had done a lot of things, and they were going to try to increase the profile of that title. Unfortunately, what happened, and that never got off the ground.
Right.
CE says, and also, I would say losing Adam Cole didn't help. Losing Kyle O'Reilly didn't help. They lost a lot of their pieces that they were going to need. CE says, you think there's a possibility of doing Darby versus Sting for the TNT title? If not, who do you think will challenge for the belt at the pay-per-view? Well, Sting says he's not doing singles matches. He said that in the discussion with Seahawk that I encourage you guys to check out. But as far as who it's going to be, I think at Revolution they need to put who knows? It might get skipped on Revolution. It might end up being almost on Rampage.
That's the thing, is that like the TNC title hasn't been defended on pay-per-views very often. At least that not like I'm sure it has been, and I'm missing it. But it, not as often as maybe it should have been. Let's just say that. With this title match that is going to be as long as 3 or even 4 matches. Danielson and MJF, you're going to see even fewer matches, let's hope, my God, on the card. So you're going to have even other ones being bumped to the Rampage before, to a special Dynamite leading up to it, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things you could do.
Tim Gordon says, I need Darby to be invested in the Super Juniors. I don't care how it happens, but it needs to happen. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. But this match specifically, Kushida, Darby Allin, let me tell you, they set this thing up perfectly, just perfectly.
Yep.
This spot in particular, where they talked about the shotgun drop kick to the outside, and Kushida caught him with an arm bar.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
What'd you think of this?
I loved it. Kushida's is like the all-time blunder of 2.0 to me, that era. The just like right after they did the whole thing, like let's put him in a tag team based around a type of clothing and then name it something that sounds like masturbation. Jacket Time was the dumbest thing that they could have possibly done with a guy like, and I listen, I think that Ikemen Jiro is a great wrestler and his shtick is really works really well for him, but there's no reason to put Kushida in there with him because Kushida's like a completely different type of wrestler and a different kind of character and everything. Like he's anyway, I had my own problems with that. I'm so happy to see him back on my TV wrestling. Like I know Kushida can go. And yeah, man, like the thing about Darby that makes him a legitimately great wrestler, even if I don't love the guy, is that he is so great at being in peril. Because when he had him, we caught him in that arm bar on the outside and he was wrenching that shoulder joint. I was like, I don't think you could pull that hard on that little guy. That thing's going to pop out of its socket. And I also think Darby would have been like, that's cool. I kind of called that. So I think, yeah, he's great, man. I thought this match was excellent. And yes, I saw some stuff in the chat. It's so true. I can't believe we didn't think about it. Kushida's gonna be on Impact tomorrow as well.
And check out our post Impact show. Yeah. I'm ideally hoping the award show, which starts at 8, will be done by then. Yeah. I don't know, but Joel and Cresta cover that every week.
The title program for the TNT title has to be Powerhouse Hobbs, because you want to talk about a clash of styles. You want how is Darby Allin going to overcome the odds, and the odds being just one dude, and that's also in the Bay Area where Powerhouse Hobbs is from. Like, you gotta do that match. Yeah. That's the guy to go up against Darby Allin. 100% Powerhouse Hobbs up against Darby Allin, and you gotta do that at the Pape. You gotta do that, you know, at Revolution. That's perfect.
So we got plenty of puns.
Good.
But King of the North first says the clips they showed of Kushida leading up the match of him tapping out Hangman in ROH was great. Showed he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. They've got that footage that they can all refer to. Mm-hmm. If anybody here wants to see something that Kushida is really capable of, him and Kyle O'Reilly, best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
The one that got me laughing during this was the big sized Tang and the medium sized Tang. Yep.
Yeah.
The old Scott Hall reference. Yeah. Rob says, human suplex machine, Tang. Also, shout out to Greg Carter for the medium sized Tang.
Yeah.
Ricardo says, Big E Tangston.
That's good.
Dan Beard, the TNT title match would have been 5 stars in the Tankio Dome. Ricardo, it's Clobber and Tang. And Jambeard says, it's Tang. It's Vader Tang.
Yep.
A good 38 of those. Pablo says, thanks for the great review. As I find this again. Thanks for the review, SRS and Alex. I agree we're getting Elite, Top Flight, and AR Fox at Revolution. Excited to see how we get there. Saraya and Tony, heel turn is a little rushed, but I like what they're doing. RIP, Jay. I'm just sitting here going, where the hell is the House of Black again? Mm-hmm. Where the hell are they?
I don't know, man.
Somebody says I forgot the towel spot. Listen, I'm tanged out right now.
Tanged the towel out. Spot was good.
It was good. It was very good. Sorry I didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Sawyer says, as much as I like Back to the Future, can't help but to feel Kushida's gimmick is so lame. I almost forget how much he owns in the ring. I mean, gimmick, it's an outfit.
It's an outfit. It's an outfit that he wears to the ring, not wrestles in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hunter Tillman says, hey guys, solid show tonight. Loved seeing all the love and support for Jay Briscoe. Can't wait to see the tribute show. Same here. Can't wait to see what they do. I'm sure they'll do something special at Supercard of Honor as well. But I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah.
Also, guys, very excited for the Fightful Awards Thursday, January 19th. Myself, Will Washington, Denise Salcedo, you're going to see some of your favorite wrestlers accepting their awards. We had planned to have more, but obviously some other stuff came up here. Mm-hmm. But tune in. We want to make this a big deal every year because I really feel like we have the most educated audience, the most media literate audience of any site out there. And it has made me feel very happy to see how many wrestlers are honored by this. There was one person that when I told them what award they won, they told me that they cried. They were so happy. And that meant a lot to me. I'll be delivering a lot of these awards to people in WWE and AEW. So very excited about that. That's Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Fightful Select reviewing Raw with Miss Kate Fabe, Kate Elizabeth. And on the regular channel, this one on Tuesdays, hopefully we had last week, we had the news that broke, which actually wasn't a thing. And we were the only ones on the internet who told you, wait, this might not be the death knell it thinks it is. We did a 4-hour show all about Vince McMahon in Saudi Arabia last week. And last night we did a tribute show to Jay Briscoe. Hopefully next week we'll have a normal Tuesday where we can do our normal show, which is a bunch of puns and me doing impressions and stuff. But also on Fridays, I do a watch along of Rampage while reviewing SmackDown on Fightful Select. That should be a lot of fun as well.
Check it out, guys. FightfulSelect.com. Jam Beard says, Luis Tanglito, the top mod. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Luis. We greatly appreciate you. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Next week, Inside the Royal Rumble drops on Fightful. It'll be out this weekend on Fightful Select. Check it out. John Alba will be here with Alex next week. Yep. Until next time, we're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.